I went to Starbucks and I come back to the apartment here. I come back up to my apartment, you know, and this is on my dad's property. My dad owns this property, you know, but this is where I reside. Anyway, I come in here, I come into my bathroom, and I notice in my bathroom that the toilet seat is up. The toilet seat is up on my toilet. I haven't put my toilet seat up. I know for a fact that this toilet seat was down. I know for a fact that the toilet seat was down. I never put my toilet seat up because I don't like it messing up my toilet.
This is Travis Ranking. Travis Ranking was born in Morton, a small town located in central Illinois. His parents, Jeffrey and Judy, raised him and his three siblings in a middle-class home. Jeffrey had his own crane rental company, J&J Cranes. Travis was homeschooled until grade 9. He attended one semester at a local high school just to be pulled out to continue being homeschooled. Due to this, Travis was never very social outside of his family. After school, Travis started working for his dad's company and even rented the apartment above the business headquarters in Tremont. Tremont is a quite isolated area, so Travis didn't have any neighbors nearby. In 2014, when Travis was about 24 years old, he started hearing voices in his head. In 2015, he began displaying clear signs that his mental health was deteriorating further. It was about a year later, in 2016, while attending a large concert, that Travis experienced something that appeared to become the catalyst in Travis's more aggressive downward spiral. Travis went to see Taylor Swift live at a concert. During her performance, Travis was convinced that he had seen Taylor make eye contact and mouth the word hello. From that point on, Travis was obsessed. He believed he and Taylor were now in an exclusive relationship, texting every day and even having small fights, as most couples do, and so on. He even started to send Taylor letters. One of them read, "Taylor, I'm really confused right now. I don't know if it was you in the pictures on Instagram, or if it was someone who looks like you. Do you really have a twin sister? If you do, which one of you am I really in love with then? I want the Taylor that wrote those beautiful songs and sang to me at her concert. Maybe Taylor 1 wrote half, and Taylor 2 wrote the other half. Maybe I saw Taylor 1 in Morton, and Taylor 2 in concert. Who is the girl in the music videos then?" At one point, Travis had claimed to have made plans with Taylor. Plans for the two of them to meet at a Dairy Queen. When he arrived at the Dairy Queen, he went inside, and there Taylor was in all her glory. But apparently, Taylor then ran outside and climbed to the top of the building. So naturally, Travis followed her to the top of the Dairy Queen. The cops were called, but no charges were placed, as no serious crime was committed. It was at this point that Travis's parents reached a level of concern that was enough to call the police and ask if they were able to help him. Travis became paranoid and suspicious of the people that were genuinely trying to help him live a healthy life. Regardless, he reluctantly agreed to go to the hospital and seek professional guidance. After 9 days in the hospital, doctors diagnosed him with schizophrenia. They gave him a handful of medication to prevent him from experiencing another episode. But of course, Travis wouldn't take this medication as he was prescribed. Statistics on men's mental health state that men in their mid-20s to mid-30s are the most likely demographic to develop schizophrenia. It is usually caused by a family history of the illness, or circumstantial factors like pregnancy or birth complications, or even by experimenting with mind-altering drugs during the teen years or early adulthood. Although we can't say with absolute certainty what led to Travis developing a form of advanced schizophrenia, there is still a likelihood that the isolation throughout his life with a lack of early treatment certainly amplified his symptoms. This is only the beginning of Travis's downward spiral. A couple of months later, Travis moved to Salida, Colorado. From August 2016 to March 2017, Travis worked in the crane industry thanks to a family friend who had helped set him up with the opportunity. While working, Travis would continually tell his co-workers about his longtime girlfriend, Taylor, aka Taylor Swift. He would ramble on constantly about all of their relationship endeavors, and he even purchased a ring that was worth about $14,000. However, instead of him being obsessed with Taylor Swift, Taylor was now obsessed with him. According to Travis, Taylor now was stalking him, as well as hacking into his Netflix, YouTube, and Facebook accounts in order to manipulate his personalized algorithms. What happened next is almost too bizarre to believe without hearing for yourself.
911 emergency.
Yeah, I need to report something, and every time I go to the sheriff's office, it's closed.
Okay, what do you need to report?
I have somebody stalking me around town, and I do not appreciate it. I want it to stop, and no one seems to take me seriously when I say that.
Okay, and who is it that's stalking you?
Taylor Swift.
Okay, and what is she doing that you say she's stalking you?
Yeah, I mean, everywhere I go, like, they're stalking on the internet, they're stalking me, like, in person, everywhere I go, I'm pretty sure, like, the police here are involved in it. And, like, I want it to stop. It's stupid. No one has the right to do that to me.
What exactly are they doing?
They're getting, like, on my, they're doing some kind of, like, I don't know exactly how they're doing it, but somehow they're, like, getting on my Facebook, they're getting on my YouTube, they're getting on my Netflix, and they're changing the videos that I see as they pop up.
Okay. I'll have an officer come meet you at your house then.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Travis left Salida, Colorado, after progressively losing trust in the police that worked there. He moved back to the apartment in Tremont and began working for his father again. But the absurdity didn't stop there. Just 3 months after he moved back to Tremont, Travis put on a pink dress and equipped an AR-15. He then approached a worker at J&J's Cranes while screaming. He ran away, drove to a local public pool, and jumped in the pool while still wearing the pink dress. When the police were contacted due to his extremely bizarre behavior, he promptly stripped and exposed himself to the police. Around the same time frame, Travis filmed this video showcasing the extent of his delusions.
Like, look at these people. They're afraid, and yet they expect me not to be. Like, look, they're coming in here, they're doing this stuff in my apartment, and then I'm not supposed to be scared? Like, oh, I'm just supposed to accept that this happens? This is insane. These people are insane. I want this to stop. This is ridiculous. And I'm tired of getting worked up, and I don't know why I have to be mean to people or call people names in order to get them to off, you know? That's the only what word I can use. It's like, look, I don't want you around anymore. I never did. Like, I didn't ever ask anybody into my apartment. I've never done that. I don't want them anywhere near here. I mean, this whole thing is criminal, what these people are doing to me. And then they blow it off like it's just some game and I'm just supposed to be okay with it, when they're not even okay with this stuff. It's stupid. And when you come in here and do this stuff, that just tells me you're a fucking criminal, that you believe guys are criminals, and that's wrong. Like, all guys aren't criminals, you know? And I don't like you because of the way you portray men. You're sick. I don't want anything to do with people like that.
In July of 2017, Travis drove all the way to the White House and drew a crowd by making a scene. He was exclaiming that he was actually a sovereign citizen and that he possessed the right to inspect the White House grounds. This incident resulted in 32 hours of community service and all of Travis's weapons to be confiscated by the police. The police eventually returned all of these items to Travis's father, but he was obligated to keep them away from Travis. The next year, on February 23rd, 2018, a mother staying at a Tremont hotel with her two children contacted the police about a man who was screaming and had broken into her room when she asked him to quiet down.
I came out here to my car and this man down here was running up and down these, up the top and then down here screaming at everyone's door, telling him he'll make as much noise as he wants. And I looked at him, I said, I have kids and they're getting ready for bed. And he was right there at that white truck, literally ran into our hotel and tried to hit me. Acted like he was going to put his hands on me.
Okay. Where's he at now?
He's down there with the man that owns this place.
Down towards
They're
the office.
They're walking toward the office.
237.
Hey, man, what's going on?
How's it going?
Good.
I don't know. I'm trying to get a refund.
Okay. We just got a call that you just went in somebody else's room.
No, I didn't go in anyone's room.
All right. You got your ID on you?
Yeah.
The reason I'm here is we just got a call from, I think it's room 125, that you went into the room without being invited in, basically.
No, I didn't ever go in the room.
Okay. Were you banging on the door or anything like that?
No, I was walking by trying to figure out who's knocking on my window. Someone's knocking on my window outside of the building. They come outside on the railing, right out front of the door. You know, there's no one to be standing right in front of my door.
Okay.
And they'll be talking loud at night. They'll knock on the windows and then walk off, and I don't know who it is. This lady then comes walking up, and she's like, "What are you doing?" Blah, blah, blah. You know, stick her nose in the business. Like, if you just got here, I mean, apparently you had nothing to do with it. But now she wants to police people. And she's like, "What are you doing? You know, just leave me alone."
Okay. Are you planning on going to a different hotel? Okay.
It's unclear if any treatment was given to Travis at all following his initial diagnosis. And if there was any, it appeared as though it was definitely not working. His schizophrenic episodes were becoming more and more frequent, and his behavior was becoming more erratic. Travis was fired from his job in April of 2018. He quickly found a new job, and after showing up for one day of work, he never went to this workplace again. In May of 2018, Travis stole a BMW from a dealership and went for a joyride, which resulted in a brief police chase through the streets of Tremont. This concluded with Travis abandoning the vehicle very close to his apartment. At the time, officers were unable to piece together that Travis was responsible for the theft and subsequent car chase. So, he was not arrested or charged for this incident. At 3:20 a.m. on April 22nd, 2018, Travis Ranking pulled into a Waffle House parking lot. He sat in his gold Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck for approximately 4 minutes. Waffle House is a very popular late-night restaurant, one of few food chains that are typically open 24/7. It is often a go-to for partygoers after having a night out, or for people looking for a late-night snack when everything else is closed. So, during the early hours of this specific Saturday, at around 3:20 a.m., the restaurant was full of customers. At 3:24 a.m., Travis exited his vehicle, revealing his outfit, which was nothing at all except for a green jacket. Travis then began walking towards the Waffle House, barefoot and partially exposed, apparently experiencing another schizophrenic episode, this time appearing far more severe. Travis was carrying an AR-15 again, the one his father was told by the court not to give him. He opened fire on the two people outside of the building. The first was Joey Perez Jr., who was nearly entering the restaurant. The second was a longtime Waffle House employee and cook, Taureen Sanderlin, who was outside for a quick smoke break. Both of these shootings were fatal. Travis then proceeded to unload into the restaurant through the glass windows. Some customers were able to flee into the bathroom, and in a panic to protect their own lives, they locked the doors behind them, mistakenly locking out any other customers who were also trying to escape. One woman pretended that she was deceased by falling between the chairs and the counter and keeping her eyes completely closed. Other customers hid behind a swinging back door, including James Shaw Jr. James knew that if Travis found them hiding in the back, they may too fall victim to his attack. While Travis was reloading, James seized the opportunity. He lunged at Travis and grabbed a hold of the weapon, which resulted in burns to his hands. The two then struggled for several moments before James ultimately forced it out of Travis's hands and threw it behind the counter. He proceeded to shove Travis out of the building. Travis then took off his jacket, left it on the sidewalk, and ran into the woods nearby. 4 people were killed in this shooting. Investigators were able to quickly link this attack to Travis, due to a plethora of surveillance footage as well as victim statements. A manhunt for Travis Ranking quickly began.
An intense manhunt is underway for a gunman who opened fire early today at a Waffle House near Nashville, Tennessee. At least 4 people are dead. 2 others are critically wounded. The gunman was half naked and armed with a semi-automatic assault-style rifle.
Travis managed to get back to his apartment, shower, change his clothes, and pack a getaway bag, which included a single handgun. Law enforcement immediately advised the local community that there was a dangerous criminal on the loose. They advised everybody to lock the doors and to stay inside while this manhunt was underway. Travis Reinking was quickly placed in the top 10 of the FBI's most wanted list, and investigators used every resource available to attempt to locate him within the days following the attack, including the assistance of the K-9 unit. After approximately 36 hours, a phone call was received by a potential witness.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
There's a man that just walked through my job, dark pants, dark shirt, wearing a backpack. From a distance, it looks like this guy. He's got mud all over him. He's a white male.
Okay.
Looks to be about maybe 5'10", 6 foot. He's wearing dark pants, a dark shirt, and a black backpack.
About 4 months after the Waffle House attack, in August of 2018, Travis was evaluated by a team of professionals that found him to be unfit to stand trial. The case was then put on hold for months after the attack while Reinking was being treated for schizophrenia. A judge then later deemed him fit for trial. Travis was facing 16 charges, 4 counts of first-degree premeditated murder, 4 counts of attempted first-degree premeditated murder, 4 counts of unlawful employment of a firearm during the commission of a felony, and 4 counts of first-degree felony murder. Travis's trial began about 3.5 years later, in early 2022, and Travis Reinking pled not guilty to all of the counts due to reason of insanity. One of the most notable testimonies from this trial would be that of James Shaw Jr., the man who single-handedly stopped the attack and disarmed Travis.
And the cook is the other cook. After Torin stepped out, the other cook is washing dishes. And as he's washing these dishes, we're just looking at him because he's stacking them up on the shelf. And he keeps stacking them and stacking them. And I guess they had to be at least 12 or 15 plates high. And we're like, those plates are going to come down. They're going to crash to the ground. So we have a small little joke about that. Mind you, my phone is on the countertop of the bar. No sooner do we start joking and laughing about that, you know, you kind of hear a noise. I didn't really pay attention, and I kind of turn over my left hand shoulder, and you can see this figure kind of falling. Now that I know that's Joe Perez, and then the windows are shot out, and it looks like a silver glitter is going through the air.
Was there ever a pause in the gunshots?
Yes, it was.
Okay. What did you do when you heard the pause?
I acted.
What do you mean by that?
There was a voice that told me to do it. Do it now. And I acted upon that voice. Because I didn't see any other way. That's why I didn't go in the bathroom. Because I told myself that's like shooting fish in a barrel, literally. So I wanted to stay outside that door. Try to keep eye on him and just try to find my moment, just try to find my opportunity. And it presented itself.
On February 4th, 2022, a jury found Travis Reinking guilty of all charges, and he was sentenced to 4 counts of life in prison without the possibility of parole. Jeffrey Reinking also faced charges in Illinois over accusations that he provided his son with the rifle used in the shooting. He pled not guilty. However, he later admitted to opening the safe where the guns were stored. Ultimately, Jeffrey Reinking was found guilty. After filing a motion to reconsider, his sentencing has been delayed. And after the events that took place on April 22nd, 2018, James Shaw Jr. was honored for his bravery.
You were confronted with the most unspeakable evil imaginable, and you acted with the utmost honor, heroism imaginable. And I want to say, James Shaw Jr., that you are my hero, and you are Tennessee's hero.
I do once again apologize to the people that lost loved ones, friends, or family.
James also started a GoFundMe for the funerals of the victims. He raised over $215,000. Travis Reinking currently resides at the Morgan County Correctional Complex.